Well, hello and welcome to the Smells Like Money podcast. Join me, Suzanne Chin Taylor, the doo-doo diva, as I interview guests who are making an impact on how we manage and operate systems for conveying and treating wastewater. As a veteran of the wastewater, trenchless, and civil infrastructure industry, each week I'll be bringing you industry know-how from industry pros who know how. Join me each week as I speak with representatives of organizations that are utilizing disruptive or new technologies and methods, and executives who are excited to share how to be successful and sustainable in our vital industry. So whether you want to learn about the latest trends in technology, in treatment or trenchless, gain tips on training and retaining great talent, or simply how to be more efficient, productive, or profitable, this podcast is for you. Ready? Let's dive right in. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Doo-Doo Divas Smells Like Money podcast. Today, we have the awesome pleasure of visiting with Donna Grudier, who is with the New York Water Environment Association and is also a 2A wastewater. Did I get that right, Donna? A 2A wastewater operator for the Village of Northport, New York. And so welcome to the show, Donna.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and talk to you today. It's a wonderful opportunity to let people know about what we do and why we do it.
Thank you. And this is exactly why I wanted to bring you onto the show, because you have an interesting entry into the world of wastewater and our industry. And so I would like you to just tell the audience, how did you wind up where you are now? Take a little back step, and then we'll move forward into that and then what you're doing today.
Okay. Well, it's actually a pretty long story. I spent most of my life working in retail management. I moved into office management when my child was getting a little bit bigger and I could work full-time again. And I found that I just wasn't making the money I needed to make and accomplishing the goals that I wanted to set for myself. I wanted to make sure I had a retirement and a pension. So I saw an ad in the paper for the Village of Northport, and they had an opportunity as the deputy treasurer for the village. So I interviewed and I got the position, and now I had a state pension and I was very excited about it, but I still wasn't making a whole lot of money, but at least I felt like I was setting my future up a little bit better. So about a year into it, one of the people who worked for the wastewater plant at the village was leaving. And the woman who ran the plant came to me and said, you know, you should apply for this position. At which point I laughed at her, as you just did, and said, you're very silly. Why in the world would I want to do that? I'm working at my nice little desk in my, you know, cute little high-heeled shoes and doing my little thing. And she said, well, how much money you make in doing that job, sweetie? And I told her, and she laughed at me and said, well, if you decide to come and work with me, you will love your job. You will have a career that pays you double that to begin. You'll have an opportunity at growth that you're never going to go anywhere else in this little job. And, you know, you have an opportunity to do something that matters. So I went and I took a tour of the plant because I really wasn't sure that wastewater was for me. I had all kinds of misconceptions about what it really was. I was, you know, it's a little nerve wracking. I was a 43-year-old woman who had never done any kind of physical labor. My world had always been very, I worked in offices. I worked in retail. I managed people. You know, my title going in at the wastewater plant was laborer. So it was, yeah. So I'm a middle-aged woman who's going to be a laborer now. And I thought, my God, can I really do this? Well, it turns out, you know, my little side story, my stepfather is a wastewater operator. He is a 4A operator who worked for the New York City DEP for many years. But quite frankly, I had no idea what he actually did. I knew he worked in wastewater, but the idea of, I never asked him about, you know, what do you do day to day and what is this job about? I just went, ooh. Okay, you know, so it took me a bit and I went on the tour and she showed me around the plant and she told me the things I would have to do. She was very honest about it. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound so bad. I can do that. But can I live with the stigma in my own mind of running into someone I knew in high school and they say, oh, what are you up to now? And I say, I'm a laborer at a wastewater plant. And it was just something that was so hard for me to wrap my brain around. And then I said, you know, how do I not do this? Because this is going to bring a lot of extra money into my family. And it's, I can make this work. So I did. I tried it. And it turned out that I absolutely fell in love with every single aspect of this job. Well, not every single aspect. That's a lie. There are some aspects of this job that are not pleasant. But overall, it is just one of the most incredible opportunity I've ever had. I mean, it's not just a disgusting job. It's not the vile Art Carney-esque world that people look at it as. I had to go to school and I had to learn more about biology and chemistry and understanding physics and hydrology. And it was just, it was fascinating and it was important because you realize that what you do every single day is one of the most important jobs on the entire planet, really, because it, without what we do, our planet is polluted and we can't live. So it really became my joy and my passion. And I'm grateful every day that I decided to make this leap of faith, really. And that's, you know, that was the beginning of my journey within this, you know, within this field.
So Donna, just, you know, you're very grateful, you're very excited. But then the other thing that I really wanted you to come and talk about, because I was very impressed by this, is you are very, very involved and active in activities for the New York Water Environment Association, your local industry association. And so I'd like you to share, you know, like what made you want to get so, well, I would say, let's back up. How did you first get involved? And then what has made you stay so involved and become such a, I would say, a champion for the organization? And kind of almost what I'm sensing is you've kind of made it your mission to encourage other people to get involved and to be really active. And what has that done for you as far as your career in being so involved in an industry association and the benefits, if you're in the industry, of being involved in your local chapter, whether it's WEA, or if you're in a rural community, being involved in, you know, your state level of rural water. And so, you know, share your experience about that.
Okay. Well, we've got another long story for you then. My stepfather, Joe, who was the one who encouraged me to become a wastewater operator, is also heavily involved in NYWEA. He has been in the Metropolitan chapter on their board. He was on the Long Island chapter and in their board. He's been involved with the Operations Challenge, which I will expand upon, for 25 years or more. And when I decided to become an operator, he said, well, listen, he says, once you get your license, I'm going to bring you to your first meeting. And I thought, okay, why not? It'll be fun. So the first time I got to attend the annual meeting was in the February of 2010 or 11, I think. And he brought me with him. The annual meeting for NYWEA is held every year at the Marriott Marquis in Times Square, New York City.
Wow.
And it's an enormous and wonderful, wonderful opportunity to meet and network and learn. There are all kinds of classes you can take, and all of the vendors are there showing you all the new technology and the engineer, just the opportunity to be there and meet so many people in the industry it's the coolest thing. So he brought me to that. And because of who he was, I got to meet everybody. I spoke with the president of the organization and the executive director of the organization. It wasn't just like being some new person, never involved, with nobody to lead them and guide them. So the experience for me was just, it blew me away. I thought, my God, I want to be involved in this. And from that, I met someone who was on the O&M committee, which is operations and maintenance on the Long Island chapter, Tom Fergin. And he said to me, you need to be a part of our committee because, you know, I was from Long Island and I'm an operator. He's like, join us. So it took a little while before I got to become a part of that committee because at the time the village was having, it was harder for them to let me take the time off and do the things I needed to do. But about a year into it, I finally found the time because they would have lunch meetings and I had to leave work. And but I got involved. And once I did, that was it. The big project for the O&M committee really is operator training. And we would set up seminars for operators because as part of our licensure, for those who don't know, we have to get CEUs every, we have 5 years. And depending on your level of licensure is the number of hours you have to take during that time. So as one of our missions, that's what we would do. So I got very involved. I started as the secretary of the committee. I ended up being the chair of the committee because that's it's just who I am. When I jump into something, that's I'm so excited and involved, and I want I don't know how to say no. Though I will say, as I've gotten older, I've gotten a little better at it now that I'm closing, you know, getting well, we're not going to say how old, but it's been a while, and yes, I finally figured out no is a full sentence, but. I would get myself involved and it was wonderful. I got to sit, I would be there. I would be the person who would do the sign-ins at all the training besides all of the setup and all the paperwork and all the nonsense. And I would sit there and I would get to meet all the operators coming in to get their training and we would talk and just, it was just so cool to have that opportunity.
So Donna, as a result of getting to meet, you know, one of the benefits, I guess, when you're doing something like that, it's the networking opportunity. Of getting to meet your peers. And you have a very interesting story to tell, I know, of, you know, talking about meeting your peers. And I just love this because I really, really want you to tell it because I think it's very sweet, especially for any women that might be thinking about this or any single people that might be, you know, listening to this, is that little known thing that, you know, being involved in your state WEA chapter or RWA is it could be a great way to meet the love of your life. And
it very
that
well
really
could
happened
be.
To Donna. And so when you told me about this, I really wanted you to share how you met your husband.
So at my very first spring meeting, I was there and my stepfather had introduced me to a bunch of people and they have the operations challenge there. And the operations challenge, for those who don't know what it is basically, it's a training exercise for operators. And it is about, they have teams and they compete. It's kind of like the fire department does, and just to, you know, to show off the excellence of our people. So I was there watching and I had only been introduced to one of the teams from the New York City DEP because they were the people who worked with my stepdad. And I was watching and we had a Long Island team. And I was like, geez, those guys are really good. And this should be my team. I'm from Long Island. I should be rooting for them, but I don't know them. So after the whole thing was over and I went up to, I said to my stepfather, I'm like, you know, I'd really like to meet some of the guys from Long Island because they seem really nice. So he says, oh, that guy over there, he's like, that's Dale. I've known him for years. He's terrific. You should go introduce yourself, you know, and whatever. So I said, okay. So I went flitting on over there and I'm like, hi, you know, my name is Donna and I'm from Long Island too. And I just thought I'd introduce myself. And he laughed at me because I was ridiculous. And I wasn't there looking for love. We were just, you know, we chatted and we got to know each other a little bit, just like I got to know many, many, many other operators there. But you know, we remained friends and we talked back and forth about different things over, you know, several years. And then sparks flew and eventually we got married and we've been married for 3 years now. So I was lucky enough to find the love of my life. So now I'm, you know, my stepfather is an operator. I'm an operator. My husband is an operator. My stepdaughter is in training to be an operator. So we're going to have another generation. So we've got a big family together doing all of this. So it's exciting.
So that's a great segue into, you have found it to be a great career. Obviously, you know, your husband has found it to be a great career, your stepfather. So the multi-generations, what do you see are some of the ways that we could really encourage people to come into the industry? whether, you know, right out, because college isn't for everybody, you know, out of high school, or maybe even out of college, you know, you went to college, you got 4 years, and you're in a major, and you can't get a good paying job. And you're gonna be stuck, you know, moving back in with mom and dad, living there till you're 40, because you get this huge amount of college debt. Or even, you know, you're in a career like you're in a career, and you wake up one day and say, you know, there's got to be something better than this. Yeah. And really look at this as an opportunity to not only make a great living wage, but also to make a difference. And that a lot of folks think a wastewater operator, it's only working in a treatment plant. There's only one thing that you can do, and that's what you're doing. But I'd like you to maybe explain to our audience that there's opportunities for lots of different jobs. And how we can encourage changing career, like midlife folks like yourself. But more importantly, you've been on a mission to encourage more young and middle-aged women to really consider wastewater as a career. Because it's been male-dominated for so many years, but I think there are fantastic opportunities for women to come into this field. And, you know, share your thoughts on that.
Oh my God. It's absolutely 100,000%. I would recommend it to anybody. But especially women, you know, it's such a wonderful time right now. Why? Oh my God. Because you pretty much nailed it on the head. You can make a good living. You can make a difference. It's such an important job, and you can really feel good about what you do every single day. We don't have to stick with the low paying traditional jobs anymore. Women can do anything. And if you don't want to be an operator, you can be a lab tech. And if you like to really work with your hands, there are maintenance mechanics who go out and fix machinery. And if, you know, there are so many different facets. There are people get into that. We have electricians that work with us. We need people who can do so many different things, but being a part of this industry is such it's a leg up. You can do whatever you need, and you can take care of yourself. You can take care of your family. You can take care of your future by taking these jobs that are traditionally God help us, a white man industry. It's not even, you know, now, thank God, we're diversifying. And, you know, we have people of all colors and creeds. We have men, we have women. It doesn't matter. Anyone can do this job. Anyone can do this job if they really want to, and they can take it as far as they want. I mean, you know, I started as a laborer a decade ago. I'm now the chief operator of the plant. I started with NYWEA as, you know, somebody working on the O&M at a local chapter. I'm now the president of the state organization. It's all about what you put into it, I think. And no matter what career you choose, I think no matter if you put something into it, you're going to get benefits out of it. And this one will give you back a thousandfold. You know, I sit at my office, at my desk every day, and I look out the window, and I overlook Northport Harbor, which is on the north shore of Long Island. I'm so lucky. I am so lucky to have the opportunity to be the caretaker of that body of water, because that's mine. And when I see people out there boating, and I see people out there enjoying it and fishing, and I think to myself, well, geez, that's because of what I do every day. Mm. And people don't often think about wastewater in that capacity. You know, I think they're finally starting to. You see so many, you know, there's so many articles about it here on Long Island. It's become such a huge issue. They're talking about in our county executive race this year, it's going to be one of the big things they talk about. Right. Nitrogen reduction in the Long Island Sound is something that it's has been talked issue about.
Up there, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm part of that. My plant is part of the Long Island Sound study where our nitrogen limits were really, you know, focused upon, and we were pushed to upgrade our plants and make sure that we were doing the right thing by the environment. And we've done all of those things. And it's only just benefited in such, you know, the sound is coming back and it's doing really well. So, and we're proud of that. You know, the best thing that we can do is to continue the expansion of these plants on Long Island, and then there'll be more jobs for wastewater operators, because it's you know, cesspools on Long Island are dangerous. You know, they're getting into our water supply. They're getting into the sound. It's not the treatment plants that are the problem anymore. It is the fact that we don't have enough of them. So the fact that we're watching the sewer expansions happen, and it's been wonderful. I mean, we're expanding in Northport. You know, we have a series of homes that are right on the water that are not on this on the sewer yet, but we are now we're doing the work and putting them in. South Shore of Long Island, same thing. So it's a very important thing that we've got going on here.
It's a growing career. And the other thing I wanted you to maybe help the audience understand is dispelling that myth of what it is to be an operator that, you know, people are thinking like even you, coming into a sewer, I'm going to be dealing with, you know, we think about what goes down our toilet, and it's that misconception of what are you actually going to be encountering at a plant? And how do we explain that to someone that, no, it's like what you were saying, and you know, the honeymooners, nor do you're thinking, oh, you're going to be climbing down into a sewer, you're going to be in hip waders, you know, fucking like you're pressing grapes in knee deep. But that nothing could be further from the truth about what it really is. And then also the training that you get, you're thinking, oh, do I need special training? One of the things that I thought was so fantastic is if you decide to go on this path, the employer is going to be paying for your education.
And for the most part, that is
the most truth. Part, they're going to be paying for that. And so one thing that you're not going to have at the end of this process is college debt.
That's correct. Absolutely.
And I talked to someone who was in private sector. No, not private sector, was in public sector. Or maybe it was the other way around. He started in private sector, then went to public sector, and then realized, you know what, got an offer to go back into private sector. And he only did it because of location and some other things in his life that it was a, and he said it was a really, really hard decision to make. But that's also another thing that folks don't realize is that, let's say you come into public sector and you do that. And then you realize, you know what, I don't want to do this. I want to try something different. You've now gotten skills and certification that can allow you to go in to private industrial sector. So it doesn't mean that you always have to work for the government, that you could go work for a manufacturer that's got its own wastewater treatment on site, and you're like the lead operator. Mm-hmm. And so there's, and then, and for him, he went back and forth. And he said, and you know, honestly, maybe at some point in my life, I might go back to municipal. He says, I love them both for both different reasons. So it's just, there's the opportunities are so vast.
Absolutely. So vast. You know, there's also jobs with manufacturers. Once you've learned the industry and you understand it, you know, there's thousands of people out there, manufacturers, reps who need people to sell and be out there. If you find that that's really something that you're a little more passionate about, that opportunity is there because now you have the skills and the knowledge. And you know, and if you've gotten yourself involved into an organization like NYWEA or Rural Water or in a place where you've networked and you've met people, there's opportunities right there. I mean, quite frankly, if I quit my job today, which I would never do because I love it, but if I chose to, I would find a job very easily because I know hundreds and hundreds of people that I've met through my travels and the conferences I've attended. And, you know, I've been all over the country with NYWEA, you know, the national WEF conventions, and I've had so many opportunities, and being involved in your organizations are the things that give you that, you know. And like I said, if you're looking to change what you're doing right now, if you don't like being in a municipality, well, you know what, you've met a bunch of people who work for private sector. So it gives you a leg up, you know. It's kind of like LinkedIn on steroids. If you put your word out there, that's what it is. And it goes a lot more quickly than just a blank name on a piece of paper. You know, if you send a resume and they go, oh, I met that person at such and such, and wow, they seemed charming and intelligent and whatever it is that you put out there, the opportunities are going to be endless. And again, like you said, without college debt, I mean, you know, And even if you choose to work and the municipality you work for doesn't pay for it, guess what? There are scholarship opportunities. NYWEA offers scholarships to help operators pay for their classes. So, or some municipalities will only pay for classes, but you might have to go stay somewhere. So there's a cost there. But even at that, again, there are scholarship opportunities. And even at the end of the day, the whole thing ends up being maybe $5,000, where obviously a college education is going to cost you a whole lot more than that. But that's why, that's become one of NYWEA's missions as well, is to bring more operators into, into our industry. We've become involved with an inflow program where we bring kids from different backgrounds to attend our conferences and to learn about what wastewater is and to participate in different activities that teach them about what is available and what opportunities there are. When I was I was so lucky this past March, I was able to go to the United Nations Water Conference at the UN in New York City. And it's one of the wonderful things about being president of NYWEA, you get to do some cool stuff. And I got to be there for this. And one of the ways that one of the things I got to go sit in on was a women in wastewater. I don't know. It was kind of a conference, a mini conference within the conference. And they brought in a group of middle school kids from all over New York City who were interested in STEM careers and introduced them to the world of wastewater, which was just the coolest thing. These kids were excited and enthusiastic, and they got to be a part of this. This actual seminar was held at the German consulate in New York City, and these kids, like, they just got to be a part of something so, you'll never forget it. It was an
Right.
unforgettable, incredible experience. So programs like this, I think, are going to help to really expand people's understanding of what we do. I think things like this podcast, what a wonderful thing this is, and just a chance for people to see what it is we do, and why we do it. And my day, yeah, I don't slog around in waiters. I watch a monitor and see what's happening with the dissolved oxygen levels within my basins. I basically, I am the caretaker of the bacteria in the treatment plant. That's my job. I make sure that they're warm and happy and well fed. I'm like the mom of the treatment plant. That's what an operator's job is. It's to make sure that everything is run smoothly and evenly. Bacteria are like people. We all kind of like things to be the same and easy. You don't want anything too crazy this way or too crazy this way. Our job is to just keep everything really, really even, as best we can. And that's what keeps the bacteria happy. And that's what makes our water that we put out clean.
That was a great analogy. You're the mom of the treatment plant. Love that. And on that, I think this is a great place to close. And just thank you for your service.
Oh, thank
Really, thank you
you.
for the service to the planet. Thank you for what you're doing to encourage, people from all walks of life, but especially women to come in to this field because it's a recession-proof field. Because let's face it, there's people on the planet, there's going to be waste, and somebody's got to get rid of it and treat it,
Yes.
our planet. And so it's just the opportunities. And what you were saying about the networking, and if something happened or I quit my job, I'd get one right away. That is one thing that we don't talk about too much in our industry, but this industry is filled with people with such a sincere, authentic generosity of spirit
Yes.
that if
Oh, so
they
true.
hear that one of their own is in trouble or has lost their job or they're not happy, they need to move, they circle the wagons and they help their own. And
Every
you're not
day.
going to find that in many other industries. There's a lot of that, competition, or I'm not going to help that person because I don't want to get them to leg up on me. No, we help each other in this industry. And I think that's what makes it such a wonderful a wonderful thing to be a part of. And so,
oh, I agree.
Yeah. And so, Donna, thank you again. It was just a delight to have you on the show. And again, thank you for your service. Thank you for that work that you're doing with NYWEA and for the organization and for the industry at large, you know, in creating that awareness. And so for those of you listening, if you're in the field, get more involved. Get more involved. It pays back. And for those who are thinking about it, you know, spread the word. Get your kids involved. Take them for a plant tour. Bring them to a thing like Donna said about, you know, a day, STEM careers. This is an absolutely fascinating industry to be a part of. And we need to spread the word to get more people involved, and especially women. And so on that note, I'm going to close. And thank you for tuning in. And until next time, keep it flowing. Thanks so much for joining me, the Doo-Doo Diva, on this week's episode of Smells Like Money. What stood out to you this week? Share your takeaways by leaving me a review. You can find out more about the new technologies, creating sustainable solutions, and insights on how to succeed in our vital industry by subscribing to the show. Whether you want to learn about the latest trends in wastewater infrastructure, treatment, or trenchless, you've got it all right here at Smells Like Money. If you're an industry expert and would like to be considered as a guest for the show, book a quick chat with me by visiting calendly.com/thetuitgroup/B-A-podcast-guest, or simply click the link in the show notes below. Until next week, a big shout out to all my industry friends and those who will be. You are my superheroes. Thanks for tuning in, keeping it flowing, and we'll see you all next week.